thebook.com.
Hello once again, everybody. Thank you for joining me here on this Tuesday, August 8th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next hour or so, as we go over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Happy to have you with us here for the second of our daily shows. If you missed yesterday's show, first of all, make sure you go back and catch that. But second, we'll be on daily now through the end of the college basketball season, that first Monday in April with the national championship game. So we'll have plenty of great content for you along the way. I've got a few Bang the Book related announcements that I'll talk about at the tail end of today's show. If you remember from last year, we had our Tuesday meeting show. That was with Brian Leonard and Sports Cheetah. This year, we'll have Sports Cheetah on Wednesdays. He's got a scheduling conflict, can't record on Mondays. So we'll record with him on Tuesdays for the Wednesday show. But we've still got the great Brian Leonard that will join us from wagertalk.com here in a couple of minutes. One thing I do want to mention here at the top of the broadcast, this and every edition of Bang the Book Radio is presented by DSI Sportsbook. If you go on over to DSI, we've got a new promo code for you here this season. That is BTB and the number 25. They'll get you a $25 free bet just for signing up, just for giving the site a test drive, and then an additional 100% deposit bonus for the Sportsbook, and the same thing for the live casino if you decide to play some of the games that they've got going on over there. So, again, football season, you're looking at win totals, you're looking at conference futures, national championship futures, division futures in the NFL, conference championship futures, all that type of stuff. You want to be able to shop around for the best prices that are out there in the marketplace. Sometimes it will be DSI, sometimes it won't, but you want to make sure that you've got that opportunity if the best price or the best line is over there at DSI. So you can sign up over there with that BTB25 promo code and take advantage of what's a really good bonus for our Bang the Book Radio listeners. Without further ado, we'll go ahead and bring on today's first and only guest. That is the great Brian Leonard from wagertalk.com. Brian, how's it going today, buddy?
It's going great. Getting ready for football. Baseball's in full swing. It's a nice time of year.
It really is a nice time of year, but it's also a very busy time of year. How do you start to allocate your time resources there? I mean, obviously you're still doing baseball, and from what I recall from the last time we talked, you were having a pretty good season. Football, the primary cash cow here in this industry. How do you allocate your time?
Yeah, it's the one thing to my advantage is I don't handicap preseason football. I've got other guys to do it. If they've got something they like, they call me and send me a text, and I bet the play. So that's terrific because I get an extra month to worry about college football as opposed to worrying about NFL. And I've been working on college, as you know, over the entire summer and mostly played in the games of the years, preparing myself, trying to get ahead of the line movement. So the college is all set and working on the pros. And even though the starters don't play nearly as long as in the exhibition season, you do get a little feel on how teams are going to be. I remember one year when St. Louis had the terrific offense, and a buddy of mine was watching them the entire preseason. He said, this St. Louis team is good. Got an unstoppable offense, and of course they go on and have a couple great seasons there. They just inducted Kurt Warner into the Hall of Fame, so it's nice to be a little bit ahead on these games.
Well, speaking of being ahead, I mean, you really have no choice now during college football season. You and I talked about this in the summer during one of our Tuesday takeover broadcasts. Season win totals out in what, late April, early May now. So I think CG Technology actually hit the board first with those this year, then the South Point came through. So, the timeline has been accelerated so much. What does that mean for you from a college football standpoint? Because you've got your power ratings, you've got everything set up very early, and then you kind of have to sit on it for a couple of months. Are you sort of worried that, maybe you can overanalyze things a little bit now with the new timelines?
Well, if you do your work ahead of time, you don't have to spend as much time on it later on. You talked about how the South Point came out with their stuff last year, surprised us all. This year they came out again. Canner came out with certain – they didn't come out with the entire card or anything like that, but they came out with certain games and certain teams on their season wins. And it's just a competition out here in Vegas. Just can do nothing more than benefit us as long as we're a little bit ahead on that. And the interesting thing was when I went down to the South Point, I did have some differences, but – here you are, it's one person against one little conglomerate of people, three or four guys from the South Point make their lines, and I'm going up against them. Well, I had some games I thought, maybe I should play this. I'm a little bit off. Well, then I go down to the Gold Nugget later on, and their numbers were basically right on what I had. I talked to Brad. Brad was down there also, and we said the same thing, that maybe it's time to go run back to the South Point and get those. But I'm sure a lot of people were looking to do that. They were looking in the middle. So it's good to be ahead, and there's times where we've gotten tremendous line value, and a lot of people worry about injuries. Well, the team you're betting against has just as good a chance to have an injury in that meantime as your team. So I don't care about that. I don't worry about that. And just try to get a little bit ahead. And obviously, you know, you're more focused now because the players are in camp and you're able to read about them every day. So you're getting a little bit more knowledge now than you had then. But so is the sportsbook managers and everybody else who's betting college football.
All right, well, we talked yesterday with Kyle Hunter about conference specialization. We covered some stuff about Conference USA, which he wrote conference win totals with team previews over at bangthebook.com. So that's why we talked Conference USA with him. Also chat a little bit of Sun Belt, because a lot of times, Brian, and you know this, being an expert on the Mid-American Conference, premier games, the blue blood programs, the Florida State versus Alabama's, the Alabama versus LSU, you know, the USC versus UCLA, those types of games are much, much tighter. There's a lot more attention paid to those games. There's also a lot more information out there, at least easily attainable information, about those specific teams. So in terms of finding value in the college football betting market, a lot of times it's going to be in those group of five conferences. You've been a MAC expert for a long time. You grew up in MAC territory in the Cleveland area. How confident are you in the MAC stuff that you've got here so far for this season?
Yeah, just as confident as I am every year. We find out more when the games are being played, but I feel good when I go into it. And this year there's some changes being made in the MAC and some of the teams because of coaching changes. You have to take a look at that a little bit differently. But it's amazing over the years, especially for your blue blood programs. For example, Michigan this year, they've lost a ton of people on defense. That was one of the teams that, in the early going in the games of the year, Chris over at the South Point thought they were going to really back up with the amount of players they were coming back. And so he made some really nice lines on Michigan. Now, you may not love Michigan, but you know they're going to be back to where they should be. Obviously, the coach they have now is best coach they've had in a while. So you have to take a look at their track record and what they've done in the past, too. So a lot of people talk about the returning starters. Keep in mind that does make a difference, but when you're running Alabama, Ohio State, teams like that, the Michigans, you're going to get back the same kind of people that are leaving.
Now, there are three teams I want to specifically focus on here in the MAC today. I mentioned two of them in the notes I emailed to you before the show on Western Michigan and Bowling Green, and I realized as I was looking through here, I want to add Northern Illinois to the mix. We'll talk about them last because, you know, I know that you've got some thoughts here on Western Michigan and Bowling Green, but let's start with the Broncos. You know, obviously, this is a team going through significant transition. P.J. Fleck rows his boat down to Minnesota, so they lose probably the best coach that they've had in program history. They bring in Tim Lester, a guy who played at this program, was a quarterback back in the late 90s, so he's got some ties here. Obviously, he probably still has some recruiting ties with the area high schools and all that type of thing. But with Western Michigan here, you know, the first question I want to pose to you, and then we can start digging a little bit deeper, is – this is a team, while P.J. Fleck was there, that was the best recruiting program in the MAC. So there's still talent left. So how do you adjust for the fact that there's a new coach, but you would assume he's got some building blocks here to work with?
Yeah, you talk about P.J. Fleck. I was actually watching the Big Ten Network, and they've got a weekly television show now about P.J. Fleck. And he's one of those guys – he's like your friend that anytime you go out to a bar, if you know that guy is going to be there, you want to be there with him. He's just so much fun to be around, and P.J. Fleck is that way. And you've already seen what he's done at Western Michigan and what he's done in his past, even as a player. So he's one of those guys that brings a positive feel, and I think Minnesota is going to really benefit from that this year. But, yeah, you're right. He brought in a lot of nice recruits. They're going to be – you know, they lost some of the skill position players, you know, a quarterback – receiver, so that's going to be a concern. But you know, there's still guys right here at this program that know how to win. So it's the coach taught the players what to do. Now it's up to the players to do it without the coach. I think they'll have some success here. I don't think they're going to be what they were in the past. I've got them winning 8.09 games. So They're going to have a little bit of a drop-off, but they're still one of the best teams in this conference.
Well, and that was one of the things. I did my preseason power ratings, and I posted those up over at bangthebook.com, and I knew that there were going to be some teams I was off about. Western Michigan is one of them. I believe I have them 6 or 7 points lower than Sports Cheetah because I've seen his power ratings in the guide that he puts out. And judging by the win total number that you just told me, I imagine I'm at least 5-6 points too low on them relative to the number that you have as well. So you mentioned the skill position losses that they have. Zach Terrell, 33-4 touchdown-to-interception ratio last year. 4 interceptions. As a result, Western Michigan was plus 18 in turnover margin. Then they lose a first-round wide receiver in Corey Davis. And this is the second question I want to pose to you, Brian, because when you're a group of five school and you're getting a guy that's a first-round level talent, that's a player that is almost impossible for you to replace. So in that respect, with the loss of a guy like Corey Davis, and again, keeping in mind there's still talent here, what sort of number, how would you quantify a loss like that for this offense with both the quarterback and a like program leading wide receiver out of the mix?
Yeah, I've talked about that in the past, whereas the Oklahomas could lose 4 or 5 guys. It really doesn't make a difference. The Alabamas, that kind of thing. When you've got a guy coming out, and in fact, he was one, was he seventh, eighth in the draft? I mean, he was highly thought of. They brought him out early, and him leaving is definitely going to have an effect here. So you take a look at the offense. Not only do they only have 5 starters coming back, they've only got one guy in the offense for the second string coming back. So this is going to be a very young team with a new coaching staff, and we'll have to see how they go. But the talent-wise is there. So I expect better than what most think. I know Brad has said in the past he thought they were going to have a major drop-off, and Brad's excellent with personnel. So, you know, I wouldn't discount anything that Brad Power says when it comes to that. So I think most people are on the downside for Western Michigan, but still on the downside on a team in the MAC with the talent they have, they could still be going bowling at the end of the season.
Well, and what's interesting about Western Michigan here is that they start on the road with a loss at USC, and that's a brutal spot for a team that's lost as much as they have offensively, then also getting a new coach. Then they go to East Lansing the next week. So, you know, we'll see what happens there with a Power 5 team in Michigan State that's down a little bit. The third thing I want to ask you about here with Western Michigan, because this is a very important consideration when setting power ratings, when looking at a season outlook for college teams, because there's so much coaching turnover. So they bring in Tim Lester, a guy that was a quarterback in college, a guy that was a quarterback's coach last year at Purdue. He has very inexperienced quarterbacks here at Western Michigan. The strength of this Broncos team is the running game. They've got two guys that ran for over almost 2,300 yards last year. So in that respect, Brian, you're looking at a guy who's a quarterback's coach. You're looking at a guy that was a quarterback. What does that mean for this offense where their strength is the running game? Do you sort of expect this guy to kind of force the pass, or does he play to the team's strengths?
I think he plays to the team's strength. I think anytime you come to a new program, it's much easier for the coach to change than it is for the players to change. Without, you know, the last thing you want to do is just get quarterbacks hurt in the early on in the season, and then it just goes down from there. You just can't afford to have that done. So I expect him to put more of an emphasis on the defense, run the football, which would mean that Western Michigan games, if you're a totals player, I would think that they would be a situation where you'd be able to make some money on the under. I would assume with the running game, there's going to be less plays being called. So this is one of the teams where when you're combining everything before the season, I like to go in and try to figure out how they're going to play it. And I think there'll be less plays in the Western Michigan games and more towards the under. And that'll be the first thing I look even before the season starts here and see how that plays out. If it plays out the way I think it's going to be, or if they completely surprise me and just go out and try to be the same team that were last year.
See, and that's interesting because I look at a quarterback's guy and I say, okay, you know, he's going to want to do what he knows, and what he knows is passing the football. So, you know, I think that's one of the great unknowns here when you do get some of those new head coaches is trying to figure out what they may do. And sometimes you may not know until you actually see them in action, see what they do. And again, that September 2nd game out there in Los Angeles is not a good barometer for this team at all because they're just completely outclassed from a talent standpoint, and there's nothing you can do about that. So, Brian, the last thing I'll ask you about with Western Michigan here, and then we'll move on to Bowling Green, is how quickly will you adjust a team like Western Michigan? Is it a situation where you know, you're going to give the new head coach time, you're going to give the talent that's in place time, or do you feel like, you know, you may be a little bit more aggressive just so you don't get caught, you know, betting on what could be an inconsistent team early on?
I don't think I'll make too many early adjustments because they are going to USC and Michigan State. That's not the kind of players, not the kind of teams they're going to be facing at conference. At this point, when you got a new coach coming in, he's going to want to look good in conference games. So I'm not reading too much into that. They also play Idaho and Wagner right after that before they get into conference action. So I will be very slow on moving with Western Michigan, knowing the schedule they've got early on. And, you know, the Michigan State game obviously will mean more to them because it's an in-state game. But the USC game, I don't think that you're going to see much out of them in that game.
All right, let's go over to the East Division here, which is very much the weaker division in the MAC conference as we head into this season. Let's talk about Bowling Green, a Bowling Green team that went 8-5 in 2012, 10-4 in 2013. Dave Clawson, he moves on to Wake Forest. They hire Dino Babers, 8-6 in 2014, 10-4 in 2015. Dino Babers goes on to Syracuse, and then they go to Mike Jinks last year, and Mike Jinks leads the team to a 4-8 record. They gave up over 38 points per game defensively. Now, this is a challenging situation to handicap, I think, because you've got Babers holdovers that are still there within this program. They want to do similar things offensively, but Jinks, an inexperienced guy, took some time for him to incorporate what he wanted to incorporate. How do you view a team like Bowling Green heading into year two now with a new head coach?
Well, a lot of this has to do with the health of the team. And last year, this Falcons defense was just a terrible defensive team, and a lot of that came down to injuries. They were just decimated last year. The defense, I think, will be much improved this year with the extra year under the new coach. And the offense, they're going to try to get back to a little bit more of what they did before. But when you go from the shotgun or whatever Babers called it here, where he was just taking as many plays as he could, as fast as he could, that's a major difference. When a coach like that leaves, you have certain players that are recruited for that type of thing. So anytime you make a change like that, it's going to be pretty devastating. It's not like a normal offense that a lot of coaches are familiar with. So that's a big differential for Bowling Green there. I actually make Bowling Green a 4.95 win team. So they'll be in the lesser part. But as you pointed out, that side of the conference is so much weaker than the other. They should be able to grind out and be in contention.
So with Bowling Green here, you got a season win total over 4 minus 158 at five dimes or at DSI, excuse me. I'm trying to bring the number up here at five dimes as we're talking. In terms of a situation like that, where, you know, you said you've got 4.59 wins and an over 4 minus 160 is effectively a 4.5 type of win total. So that's not a play there. How much of an overlay do you need on a season win total in order to fire on it?
Early on, I don't play a lot of seasonal wins in college. In fact, I rarely play any at all. And the reason is not because I'm not confident with my plays. It's that they get to hold the money on that until the season's over. And it's a 12-game season. Anytime you have a lesser season, which is why, you know, in the NBA, the NBA plays 82, Major League Baseball, or 82, Major League Baseball plays the 162. 81 maybe in the NBA. Anyway, anytime you have more sample sizes, you've got a better chance of winning. So I play a lot of baseball futures because in the long run, I think I'll be all right. 12 games is a little bit too short for me. And I even told Chris that. I said when he went in and looked at me, he says, how did I do in the MAC? And I says, well, I think you're off by a game and a half on a couple. I said, but I don't play them because too much variance in a small sample size.
No, that's an excellent point to make because, you know, a lot of times you're looking at margin for error. I mean, ultimately, these are college kids. They're 18 to 22, 23 years old. There's inconsistency there. They lose a game that they're not supposed to. Well, then all of a sudden you run into some pretty serious problems with a season win total, or they may end up winning a couple games they're not supposed to. So, you know, definitely I can understand that whole variance point there. Circling back to Bowling Green here, though, you know, again, this is a team that has, you know, at this point, the final recruiting class for Clawson, those guys are seniors. You got a couple of Babers recruiting classes there. Now Jinks probably knows his personnel, right? So do you feel like Bowling Green, it was maybe a bye team against the spread early on? They were just 4-8 against the number last year. They gave up 77 points on two separate occasions in non-conference play to Ohio State and Memphis last year. Is that a team that you're looking to buy early on in the season if the price is right?
It could be, and that's the problem you have right now is a lot of people are putting out the big schools. They're not putting out the smaller schools. So I don't really know at this point what the line maker feels about teams in the smaller conferences, the Sun Belt and the MAC and that kind of thing. So we'll have to see. But you know, keep in mind, Bowling Green, out of the first nine games last year, they were 1-8. And then they went off and won the last three games at Akron, Kent State, and Buffalo. All those teams, mediocre, Buffalo even worse than that. So they're coming in with a little bit of motivation here, a little confidence after the way they finished last year. But this will be a middling team. But I do think not too many people are thinking much of Bowling Green. When you get everybody together and they're together for the second straight year, they should be getting better every game of the season. And by conference play, we should be able to make a little money on them.
All right, the last team I want to ask you about, and I guess this is throwing you a little bit of a curveball, and I do apologize for that, but it's Northern Illinois. This is a Northern Illinois team that from 2010 to 2014 won at least 11 games every single season. 8-6 in 2015, just 5-7 last year. They've had some injuries at the quarterback position over the last few years. They've been trying to figure that whole thing out offensively. But you know, this is a school in Illinois. It's a good recruiting area in Chicago. You can tap into the other schools in the Midwest. So there's a good talent base here for Rod Carey. Are you looking for a bounce back from NIU this season?
Yeah, I have them at 6.57 wins, and I think this is a team that could go either way. I expect them to have another strong season. And in college football, so much is dependent on your quarterbacks. And Northern Illinois has some really good quarterbacks if you go back to the last decade. They haven't been able to get that in the last couple of years because of the injuries, as you pointed out. So if they can get settled at quarterback, Northern Illinois, with the coaching and what they have, they could be back to where they were just a few years ago. But you got to get some health out of a quarterback and some consistency out of the quarterback. Wide receivers, they lose an all-conference wide receiver in Kenny Galladay. So he's going to be gone there. But this is a team that I'm looking to play on from offense. They've got five guys coming back on offense. The starters, although they do have a lack of depth there right now, a lot of young players going to be backing them up. In fact, you know, my chart says they're only going to have one senior backing up the starters on in the offense. So it'll be a young team that has some talent. They always seem to recruit pretty well. But this is a team that I'm looking at that could surprise.
So you mentioned that you don't play a whole lot of win totals, and I can certainly understand that with the inherent variance that's built into a 12-game sample. But this is a team, their season win total is sitting at 6, the under minus 125 at 5 dimes, under 6 minus 140 over at DSI. So indications would be there that there aren't a whole lot of people buying stock in Northern Illinois. So do you use those win totals and the juice that's on those as kind of a guide for, as you said, because you want Northern Illinois to be a team that you want to back early on in the season. So can you use win totals to your advantage in that way, even though you're not betting them?
Well, I was talking to Chris Andrews. I hate to bring Chris back up again, but he was the first one to come out with lines for every team, the season wins for every team. And we talked about this, and he had Michigan against Penn State. He had Penn State as a, I believe he opened it up as a 14-point favorite. But yet on the futures board, he had both teams at like 20-1 to win it all. And I asked him that. I said, why would you make one team a 14-point favorite in the same conference when you've got both teams at 20-1 to win it all for the national championship? And he said, there's no correlation from one to another. So just because people are betting the under, or at least the line showing that they're betting the under in the Northern Illinois, isn't enough to make me change a power rating. I know these teams just as well as anybody else, and we'll have to wait and see what happens. But I go by what my numbers is, and the way I make my numbers, obviously you can't win, you know, 6.57 games, is you just take what I feel is going to be the current line, give them a percentage of chance, add that all up, and that's how you get to the 6.57 for the Huskies here.
So we talked about it. The season win total market opens up very early, and then you start to get games of the year and some of the marquee games. And then I believe one of the sports books, I want to say it was maybe Five Dimes, came out with a bunch of week one lines for college football. So we've had some numbers that have been out there for a while. Of course, they've gotten pretty stale here at this point. But like we said, you do your power ratings very early on now out of necessity. And then you spend the summer tweaking them, looking at different things, talking to other people, that sort of thing. What is the primary factor for you in terms of grading the power ratings that you have, you know, in terms of seeing if you need to make adjustments?
I just try to read as much as I can. Anytime I come over a key injury, in fact, I treated one out today, I'll just retweet it. That way everybody knows that's a key player, that's a starter that won't be playing. And a lot of times kids don't make grades. Kids get in trouble. So just because you've got certain people that you think are coming back, you've got to make sure you go back and check, because Phil Steele is one of our friends, and we all know Phil Steele. He's just a tremendous in college football. I've been in his office in the past, and as soon as they flash up the starting lineups on a game, if I'm there, he'll have me read them off, and he checks them down and makes sure that he's got these guys rated on there and what kind of drop-off there is. So pay a lot of attention. Just because certain people are supposed to come back and be starters, they may not be back for various reasons. So you may have a power rating of a certain team based on what you thought was going to play. They're not going to be back, or they didn't make grades, or something happened. So you got to definitely adjust your power ratings to that. So the first couple of weeks are very important when you're looking at personnel.
Let's say that the line comes out plus 17 and you've got it plus 10 in your power ratings. Is that something you're just going to hammer right away, assuming that there's value, or is it something where you're going to take another look at those teams and say, okay, did I miss something? Do I need to adjust this number? How do you handle that?
Yeah, the first thing you got to look at is an adjustment. If something is that far off, you're really going to see something like that. But you've got to go in and check, make sure everybody you thought is going to play is going to play. And like I said, I've got confidence when the lines come out. That's the first thing I look at, because I'm in a room with a bunch of other guys looking to do the same thing as I am. I want to beat them to the punch. You know, there's been times where I've waited in line at the Golden Nugget, and the three people in front of me in line all bet the same thing as I did. So I thought I had some nice value, and the line had moved. They'd usually move about a point or two, depending on the size of the bet. And by the time I get up there, a team that I thought I was going to be betting on, I no longer like. So you just have to keep in mind that you're betting on numbers. You know, we've talked about this in the past. You're betting on numbers, not just teams. If you love a certain team, the number is so important. You don't want to bet into bad numbers. And that's just one of the things you got to look at when you're doing this. You're going in, everybody likes a certain number. If the bookmaker likes that team even better than you do, you're betting against that team. That's the way it is. You just got to look for a value, and you can't go in and say, I'm going to bet this team, and not knowing what the number is, not knowing what the correct number should be. That's how you lose your bankroll.
Brian, one of the things I love about you as a handicapper is that, you know, you've been in this industry for about 30 years, and we've talked about this on previous segments. I think we talked about over the summer as well, that things have changed. You know, there are different ways of setting lines. There's different ways of analyzing data. Obviously, there's advanced metrics, and you and I are both baseball guys. We've talked about this before in the past with how you incorporated some more sabermetric analysis into your MLB handicapping. So you've also adapted and grown with the times, and I think you deserve a lot of credit for that. When you talk about comparing numbers in the off season, and obviously you're out in Vegas, you've got a good network of guys that do things in very different ways, because you've got different age groups, different philosophies, that type of thing. How much of it is networking here at this time of the year, and how much of it is, you know, I've had success with this before, I'm going to just trust myself, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'll adjust a little bit quicker?
Yeah, anytime you do your stuff, as confident as everybody wants to be, you don't know everything. And we've talked in the past about the Tuesday group. This year, we've got five or six of us to do our own power ratings. Once we put in our opening bets, and they were down at the South Point, down at the Golden Nugget, once we put in our opening bets, then we turn around and say, okay, what did you get? And what do you see here? And should I bet this one? Is this still good? So you're trying to pick the brains of the other people. And at that point, we exchange power ratings. And if somebody's really high or really low on a team that maybe I didn't think deserved it, I'll ask them. I'll say, we're way off on this. And there's been times where it's just a clerical error, or somebody who I thought was going to play is no longer on the team, or whatever. And you just compare it and you smooth it out a little bit. So at this point, we've all got enough people that we respect we've got their numbers too. So if you feel strongly about something and they agree, that's something that we want to take advantage of before the public gets a hold of it.
Well, we'll transition over to the pros a little bit here. I spent a little bit more time on college because I intended to talk NFL preseason, but like you said, you don't do a whole lot with the preseason. I certainly can't blame you for that with, you know, third stringers and practice squad guys deciding your bets in the second half. But you said you're doing a lot of NFL prep work now. You've had your college stuff for a while. You've put in the future plays that you want to make. You've hit those look-ahead and game-of-the-year lines that you've been trying to hit. So what's the deal with your NFL prep work? Do you do power ratings for the NFL as well?
I do, but the power ratings really don't have as much to do with my betting. And the reason why is in college football, you got a lot more teams and the numbers move a lot more. In the NFL, certain numbers just – if you see a three-point move in an NFL and there hasn't been an injury, that's a huge move, and that may be the biggest move of this entire season. Basically, the NFL is a situational game for me. If I think the line should be 2.5 and the line is 3.5, I'm going to grab the 3.5, just anticipating the way it's going to move. And basically, the NFL, the information is there for everybody. You talk to a guy in a sports book, he may not know a thing about Southern Illinois or Northern Illinois or, you know, Tulsa or whatever in basketball, but he knows everything there is about the NFL, and so the information it doesn't have the same degree of what I want to play with. So basically, if I find something out, chances are everybody else knows it in the NFL. The key to college sports is you find something out in maybe a couple hours, you could take advantage of it before everybody else. So and if NFL, the numbers, obviously it's a numbers game in the NFL. But I just try to be ahead of where I think the number is going. And it's all value. You rarely find anything in the NFL where there's a game that your line is going to be way off of what the sports book line is. It's, you could probably go. In fact, you know, Cantor has got lines out on every game all season long, except for week 17 right now you could bet into. So you could just take a look at those lines and see for yourself that they don't move very much. If you go back and you can basically figure out your power ratings by looking at their numbers.
Now, one of the biggest differences between college and the NFL is in college, you've got transfers, you've got coaching changes, you've got guys leaving early for the draft, you've got guys running out of eligibility. In the NFL, it's largely status quo. It's a lot of the same guys that play year after year, the same starters, the same roles. Yeah, there's free agency, and obviously, you know, there's some impact players that come out in the draft, but by and large, a lot of the NFL guys are the same guys that you saw the year before and the year before that. So in terms of prep work, does that make it a lot easier for you?
It does make it easier. You know what you're going to get. A lot of the things that I do, there's a book out there, Warren Sharp. He's a great statistical handicapper, analytics, and he breaks a lot of things down in his book. I would recommend get that book. It's tremendous. But there's so many things you can go off of. And one of the things I like to do is regression to the mean. And you see a team last year that was plus, you know, 20 turnovers. And that's just not going to happen again. You look at how they did in one score games. If they had a big year in that, that's not likely to repeat itself again. Injuries, the Cincinnati Bengals the last 2 years have been the number one and number two least injured team in the NFL. You know that's not going to happen again. So those are things that you could put into your handicapping along with the players that you know of and get a nice solid number in the NFL.
So you mentioned that you do make up power ratings. Is that solely for purposes of coming up with a spread as a guide so that, you know, what number
right.
you're looking for? Okay. Because
basically I'm looking if I have that number right on the teams going into the prior week, let's say the two teams that are playing now, I had a number exactly like it was last week, and there wasn't enough in the game that they played to want me to make the move the number. But all of a sudden this week, I make the line 3 and the line comes out 5. Then I know I've got a pretty good idea on where that line is going. It's going to be towards my number based on the way this team looked last week and there wasn't an adjustment made. So I try to put myself in front of where the line's going to go. And if I can catch, you know, key numbers, you know, 3, 4, 6, 7, 10, that's usually what I'm trying to do.
No, it's really interesting the way that you know, you still set up power ratings and you do it in the same manner, but they're incorporated and interpreted in such different ways between college football and the NFL. And ultimately, that's why there are probably a lot more advantageous positions in college football between the sheer number of teams and also the fact that, you know, your deep dive in college football means a lot more, I would say, than it does in the NFL.
Yeah, it definitely does. And in college, for the most part, teams are playing all their conference games all in a row. Sometimes they'll throw in a non-conference in the middle of the season. But in the NFL, you're looking at divisional games. Divisional games rule. Divisional games number one, conference games number two, non-conference games number three. So you could take a look at the schedule, and you could take a look and see that, okay, this team's playing on the road against a non-conference team. Next week they're on the road and they're playing a non-divisional team. And now they're coming home and they're playing their rival the following game. If you're those players on that team, your main game you're pointing to is your game against your divisional rival. Those games, they mean basically two games in the standings. If you win those, a lot of people will talk about, you know, two good teams playing in a non-conference game. Well, you keep in mind those are the least important games these players are going to play all season long. How much are they paying attention to the coaching staff in the locker room when they're not going to play this team until they get to the Super Bowl, or if they get to the Super Bowl? It's much different than when you're playing teams in your own division two, and then when the playoffs come up, maybe three times in a season. So one of the things you got to look at is the schedule coming up. And there's been times where we made a lot of money on a team will play, doesn't happen very often, a team will play three at home or three on the road in a row, and you can usually use a pretty good play on the over in that third game of doing something like that. Just doesn't come up very often.
One last thing I want to ask you about with the NFL, Brian, then I'll let you go for today and look forward to our chat again next week. But we talked about the situation at Western Michigan going from PJ Fleck to Tim Lester. We talked about Bowling Green now with a second-year head coach going from Dave Clawson, who was very good, to Dino Babers for 2 years, who was pretty good, to now Mike Jinks, and we'll see what he does in his second year. We've got 5 coaching changes in the NFL this year, although maybe 4 if you don't consider Doug Marrone, who just had the interim tag taken off of his name there in Jacksonville. So you got coaching changes with the Chargers, the Rams, the Bills, and then also the 49ers. So when it comes to coaching changes in the NFL, you know, different schemes, a lot of people like to say, well, these guys are professionals. They should be able to pick up on whatever the coach is telling them. You know, they're at the highest level for a reason. How do you approach teams that have had coaching changes in the NFL?
The NFL players have been around the block a few times ever since that they played young ball and, you know, peewee ball or whatever. They've had different offensive systems. I think by the time they make it to the pros, they've seen just about everything. And in the pros, it's a copycat league. We know it. If a team comes out and they have success doing something, a lot of the other teams are going to do it. So I really don't make a lot of changes. Whereas in college sports, coaches are king. In the NFL and the NBA, there's only a certain amount of coaches. There's only probably 3 or 4 coaches in the entire league that actually make a whole lot of a difference. So I don't pay as much attention to coaching changes in the NFL as I do in college.
A lot of good thoughts here on today's show from Brian Leonard of WagerTalk.com. Brian, what's going on over at the website right now?
Yeah, over at WagerTalk, we started doing previews for all the upcoming conferences in college and NFL, and a lot of the people that you have on the show here, Cheetah and Brad Powers and I and Ralph Michaels, we all do videos over there at WagerTalk, and Brad over at Pregame does his videos and try to give somebody some information that they don't have. We try to do it in a timely manner and have some fun doing it. So you're getting different opinions on a lot of these games and a lot of these teams. The last thing I want is to be in agreement with everybody. I want to see the opposite opinion on certain of these teams. And you're able to do that when you're in some of these videos. You know, nobody holds back. If we disagree with somebody, we're going to tell them. And that's the kind of thing I like.
Brian, if any of our listeners are interested, do you have any of your pricing information up for your season stuff?
They're starting to do that over at Wager Talk right now. I've been working on my baseball, so I haven't really seen the way that they put it up, but I know they got right now a football, an NFL football package up there for me at a discounted price. But Johnny's always willing to work out things for you. If you're more of a college player or an NFL player or whatever you want, you can just give the offices a call over there and you can get that from the website, and they'll work with you.
Well, and then if you want to, and you certainly should, you can follow Brian on Twitter at BLeonardSports. Brian Leonard, WagerTalk.com. Thank you so much for your time, man. Really, really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week, bud.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Take care, everyone.
Strong stuff there today from Brian Leonard of WagerTalk.com. And I really like to have him on the show. And for those that are new listeners of the show here, you know, when we get the sports cheat on tomorrow's show, you know, a different style of handicapping, a younger guy, you know, more in embraces the analytics a little bit more, you know, does a lot of things in terms of prop betting and future betting and all that type of thing. That's one of my favorite things about this show is that we've got a wide range of handicappers and professional bettors that join us. A lot of different guys that can really help out our listeners by giving a wide perspective. And I think that that's something that's, you know, really important. I mean, one of the things that I've talked about on this show before is, you know, if you like a team and you want to bet a team, that's very good. But you also want to look at things from the other side as well, just in case there's something that you missed. Because, you know, sometimes you can just be blinded by the fact that you love a team so much. Well, maybe you missed that, you know, that team's starting quarterback is questionable this week. You want to sort of play a little bit of devil's advocate with yourself. You don't want to talk yourself out of plays necessarily, but you want to make sure that you're getting the full 360-degree perspective of a game before you decide to fire on it. And that's the nice thing about this show is that we can give you, you know, a wide perspective of how to handle situations like Western Michigan, like Bowling Green, like Northern Illinois, teams that have had success in the past and have lost it, teams that haven't had as much success and are now experiencing, you know, new program heights, and then teams that are going through coaching changes. We're going to talk about a few more of those tomorrow with Sports Cheetah. We talked about some yesterday with Kyle Hunter. We talked about some over the summer with Brad Powers. And I've got an article up over at bangthebook.com that encapsulates all of our college football links that we've written here or had on the shows over the summer. We've got, I think it's 101 college football team previews with season win total picks. We've got a couple of the Tuesday Takeover shows from over the summer. I handicapped the new coaches in the Power 5 and Group of 5. I also talked about some teams that are going through some pretty big tempo and scheme changes. So all of this stuff is very important to you. And I think that a lot of times people walk into betting on sports and say, well, I like to watch games. I know what's going on. I'm going to have success with this. And there's a lot more to it than that. And I don't want to scare off any of our new listeners, but you're going to get a lot of handicapping 101 type stuff out there on a lot of the other shows. We've got handicapping 201, 301, and sometimes even some serious senior-level courses in handicapping here on Bang the Book Radio as we go throughout the season. That's the way I like it. That's the way I want it to be. That's the way I wanted this show to be. You know, we've got professional handicappers that come on the show that do sell picks, but you're not going to hear them tout, hey, buy my, you know, my SEC West game of the year in week two. It just doesn't happen. We don't do that here on this show. We want to present you with information. We want to educate you. We want you to be a better handicapper. That is the end game of everything that we do over at bangthebook.com. We've got a lot of great written content for that. And then obviously we do a lot of really good stuff here on the shows as well. So hopefully as we go throughout the season, you'll find out that, you know, that's what we do. That's our mission statement. And hopefully it's something that works out for you and ultimately does help benefit your bankroll. And I can assure you that there's a very, very good chance that it will because of the talented handicappers and professional bettors that we have on this show. A few things I want to talk about here while I've got some time, and then I'll try to work in a little bit of Major League Baseball analysis because those of you that have been listening to the Bettors Box know that I'm going to try to incorporate that as much as I possibly can here on the shows. This week, of course, a challenge for me because we're on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. No Friday show this week. We'll be back on 5 days next week. But got a few things I want to talk about here toward the tail end of today's show. The first is that I want to get some listener feedback from you on the quality of the sound for the radio show here. Now, I know that yesterday's segment with Joe Everett, which was pre-recorded, was played at a much lower volume than the rest of the show. That was my fault on the playback. I was sort of guesstimating where I wanted to put that volume. I tried to listen on my phone while the segment was playing. It sounded okay, but once I went in to cut the segments for the show, I realized that it played a little bit lower than it should have. So please let us know what the volume is like for the show. I think our sound quality is pretty decent given what I have to work with in terms of the living situation and the equipment that I have and the equipment that I can use. If it was up to me, we'd have a big, beautiful studio like some of the shows out there do. We don't, unfortunately. But you know, I think that our content is very, very strong, and we want to make sure that you can hear it clearly. So please let us know about the volume, because one of the options that we have, we like to do a live show. If people want to listen live, then that's something that they're very much able to do. But if the volume needs to be adjusted, what we can do is we can record offline and then edit the volume, increase that, increase the clarity a little bit, and then just post the uploaded show. So please let us know your honest feedback on what's going on with the sound. I know some of our guests can be a little bit quieter. Most of them use cell phones to call in, so reception can sometimes be an issue, that type of thing. But please let us know. We want to bring you the best product possible. We know that the content stands for itself, but we also want to make sure that it sounds good for you as well. So let us know if we should, you know, do some things differently. If you want to listen back to one of the previous editions of the Bettors Box or those two Tuesday takeover shows I mentioned with the college football stuff, those are both pre-recorded, edited for sound, edited for volume, edited for clarity. If that sounds better than the live show, please let us know. If you don't notice much of a difference, we'll keep doing what we're doing with the live show, because I do like the idea of doing the show live, especially because when we get live guests on the air, if there are line moves, if there is breaking news, we have the opportunity to talk to them and say, hey, you know, looks like Julio Jones is listed as doubtful now. How many points is Julio Jones worth to the line, in your opinion? You know, we'll see sportsbooks take lines down so they can make adjustments. We can talk about that stuff as it happens in real time. If we record, we're recording the day before to play on the next day's show. You know, sometimes information can be a little bit dated, lines can have moved, stuff like that. It's just the nature of the beast. It's the problem that we run into by making sure that we release the show at pretty much the same time every single day. So please let us know. Give us your honest feedback about that. A couple of other things I want to talk about here. I've been talking with my boss over at bangthebook.com, the owner of the site, and we're sort of throwing some ideas around about doing a live chat on Saturday and Sunday mornings. Not all of them, but some of them here for the football season. See what kind of interest there is with those. We can talk in real time about the line moves that are going on early in the day, about any updated injury situations, about, you know, hey, why is this line moving when 67% of the public is on this side, stuff like that. We're talking about doing that over there at bangthebook.com with some live chats. You know, we can just share information. That's very, very important. And that's something I want our listeners to realize here, and something I think makes our show format really work well for a lot of people, is that a lot of us out there, myself included, the people in our friend circle that we have around, that we see all the time, that we go to the bar with, a lot of them aren't astute handicappers or don't know anything at all about sports betting. And that can be really frustrating. You know, if I start talking about a college game that I'm watching with somebody, I'm like, oh, well, they closed a 4.5-point favorite, you know, number open 7. So obviously they're not really expected to do a whole lot. And the person kind of looks at you like the deer in headlights thing, like, what the hell are you talking about? That's a challenge for me, you know, because I am so passionate about this industry, and because it's what I do on a daily basis. I can't imagine I'm the only person that's out there like that. So we're kind of thinking about some other ways to reach out to our listeners, to reach out to our readers, and a live chat would be a pretty good way to do that. So that may be something that we do here in the month of September. And then, of course, once the Indian season is done, it's easier for me to do in November. Hopefully the season goes into November this year for me. But that's something that we'll try to do here throughout the fall. And then on into the winter, is looking at, you know, ways to engage our listeners, ways to share more information out there. You know, everything I just talked about carries over to the content over at the site. We want to make you better. We want to educate and inform. One of the best ways to do that is to keep bringing content at you. That's why we write as much stuff as we do at the website. It's why we do the show every day. And then that's why we're talking about doing this live chat, idea as well. So if that's something that you're interested in, please let us know. You know, if that's something that sounds like it'd be good for you, let us know. You know, if there's something that you want us to change about the show, if you've got questions for the show, love to take questions, love to ask our handicappers questions. If I get a good question on Saturday or Sunday or Monday, I will ask every handicapper on the show for their take on it, because I want to give that broad perspective like I talked about already. So anything that we can do to help you along the way with the football season, we are happy to do it. So if live chats are something you would be interested in, again, please let us know. Another thing that I want to throw out there to our listeners, we've had a little bit of success with this in the past. We'll see if we can have some more success with it here in the present and then hopefully into the future. But if you're interested in writing for bangthebook.com, let me know on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Skating Tripods, or you can reach out to the at bangthebook Twitter account. Let me know if you're interested in you know, submitting some content to see what we think of it, you know, and if nothing else, you know, I will give you feedback. My second major in college was history, as a communication major primarily. I've done a ton of writing, so I know what I'm talking about when it comes to writing. So if you have an interest in writing, if you want to get better at writing, if you want to get better at handicapping, shoot me over some stuff. You know, reach out to me on Twitter at @SkatingTripods. Tell me you want it, that you're interested in submitting some things. I'll tell you how to go about doing that, because we really want to get, you know, as much betting analysis as we can over there at the website. And, you know, a lot of times you go to a lot of places and they just have game previews and, you know, all this type of stuff. And that stuff is great, and it has a lot of practical value. But at the same time, you know, being able to analyze line moves, being able to talk about what's going on in the betting market, all of these things are very, very important. You know, you can get game previews from ESPN or the AP. Obviously, at our site, they're a little bit more in-depth than that. But, you know, if anybody out there wants to send us some stuff, anybody out there wants to use this as a way to get better, please feel free to reach out at @SkatingTripods. Happy to always talk with listeners. I don't think there's a tweet that's come to us during the show that I haven't answered. So please let us know. Please reach out. We'd be very, very happy to help you, you know, maybe find a landing spot somewhere else. If you still need a little bit of work with your writing, or if we've got some opportunities for you at the website, we'd be happy to do that as well. So if you want to do that, reach out to me on Twitter at @SkatingTripods. Now, as far as the rest of the week here on Bang the Book Radio goes, recording with Sports Cheetah tonight for tomorrow's show. As I mentioned, we're going to talk about some teams in some of those situations, like what we've discussed here already this week, how to power rate teams like that, because a lot of times that's how you make your money on college football. The teams that are unknowns, the teams that people are a little bit uncertain about, if you've got a good position on them early on in the season, it can take the market some time to catch up, and you can sit there and cash ticket after ticket on that team because you've done your research, because you've done what you need to do in order to be ready for the season. So we'll be doing that with Sports Cheetah on Wednesday. We're talking with Brad Powers on Thursday. We're going to normally have Brad Powers and Ralph Michaels on the show on Thursdays. Ralph unable to join us here this week. So it looks like we'll be doing a full show with Brad Powers, which will be good because we can chat with him about some of the major conferences, the SEC and the ACC, the Pac-12, the Big 12, the Big 10, then also look at some Group of Five stuff with him as well. That'll primarily be a college football-related show there on Thursday. But we'll also look at some NFL preseason stuff, NFL preparation stuff, that type of thing. No show on Friday. We're still working on the Friday format as far as things go for the rest of August. Once we get into September, we'll be doing the Super Contest show on Fridays, and then also we'll have Brent from DSI Sportsbook. He's a bookmaker over there with them. He'll tell us what's going on with where some sharp players have come in on some games, both sides and totals. So there's a whole lot of good stuff coming your way here in the month of September. But, you know, we're just trying to get back into the rhythm of the daily show, trying to make sure that we've got all of our ducks in a row from an equipment standpoint. And again, make sure that we're bringing the best possible show to you that we can. Well, we've been talking a lot of football here already over the last 2 days, and I've been writing a ton of football stuff. I think I wrote 51 of those win total previews myself. I've been writing some other college football content along the way, but still trying to follow the baseball betting market. We've got a lot of line moves out there here today, pretty significant ones at that. I mean, not a big surprise to see Corey Kluber get steamed from a $2 favorite up to minus 235. We saw the Pirates get steamed with Chad Kuhl on the hill. That's against Matt Boyd. The Pirates went from minus 155 to as high as minus 180 out there at some of the more public books. You know, line moves are still going to be a thing. And furthermore, as people start coming back into the betting markets for football season, as people start depositing money, you know, to play the NFL preseason, to play if they want to play win totals or futures or whatever else, you know, they're going to be bored. They're going to be sitting there looking at this stack of money in their account and say, well, there's baseball on tonight. Let's go ahead and play some of these. So baseball is definitely not a forgotten thing here at this point in time, and it won't be a forgotten thing throughout September either, because think about it. Football's played on Saturday and Sunday. You got that bankroll money burning a hole in your pocket. What are you going to do during the week? You're going to play some baseball games. So we may see a little bit more volume out there in the marketplace throughout the month of August as people start to deposit, as people start to spend that bonus money if they're signing up at new sports books. So we'll have to see. It's going to be very interesting to follow the market here over the next little while. A couple of other really significant line moves to pay attention to tonight. Michael Wacha and the St. Louis Cardinals from a minus 103 favorite up to a minus 120, minus 125 favorite against the Kansas City Royals. That's a move against Jason Vargas. Jason Vargas has a low ERA and a high xFIP. That's expected fielder independent pitching, which is an advanced metric that combines strikeouts, walks, hit by pitches, and the league average home run to fly ball rate. Some guys, like Jason Vargas, don't give up a whole lot of home runs, but they're still penalized from an xFIP standpoint because it takes the league average and assumes that pitchers will regress toward the league average. So Vargas, not to say that he's an undervalued commodity here tonight, but there needs to be some discretion in there when you handicap a pitcher like that. Right now, it looks like there's not a whole lot of that in the market tonight. A lot of people backing Waka, a lot of people fading the Royals. Not a big surprise there. The game that really stands out to me tonight, though, is the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. Kenta Maeda going for the Dodgers, Zach Godley going for the Diamondbacks. If you haven't paid attention to Zach Godley this season, he has been godly, to say the least. He's been very, very good. ERA and FIP both below 3, xFIP a little bit higher than that, over a strikeout per inning for him. He has not given up a lot of hard contact this season. He's not given up a lot of barreled balls. And by barreled balls, I mean balls that have an expected batting average of 500 or better and a slugging percentage of 1.5 or better. So what that means is a barreled ball is basically a double, a home run, or a really hard luck out. Well, Godley hasn't given up a lot of hard contact so far this season, and the Dodgers just keep on rolling. I mean, they are going to challenge the 2001 Seattle Mariners right now with 116 wins if they keep on the pace that they're currently at, which is remarkable to think about, because when you look really around a lot of sports, parity reigns supreme. I mean, when you got to the playoffs last year, it was the Patriots and the Falcons in the NFL, but there were a lot of middle-of-the-road types of teams that maybe went 10-6 with a good record in one-score games, stuff like that. There's a lot of parity across the major sports. But then you got the Dodgers this year who are just blowing everybody away. Remarkable. But this was a game where Maeda was open to minus 133 favorite, this one over at Bookmaker, and then went all the way down to the minus 115, minus 118 range. Now it's come back up. So you've got some buyback here in the marketplace, and that's always really interesting to see, especially with the money basically split on this game. So, you know, you can also look at line moves like that in the NFL and college football as well, where you see a line move one way, start to see some buyback. You know, sometimes that's different groups of sharp bettors that are on opposite sides. Sometimes it's maybe a little bit of public involvement. Sometimes that's an injury note or something like that that's moved the line back. You know, line value and market shopping, just two very, very important things. And we'll talk a lot about that as we go throughout the season here on Bang the Book Radio, because it's so important. You know, I think, like I said, a lot of people come into this and think to themselves, okay, I watch a lot of football or I watch a lot of baseball. I know these teams. But the betting market, the lines, the spreads, the totals, much, much different. Much different than just being able to watch games and saying, oh, I like that team. And this is one of those situations where you've got an Arizona team that's been pretty good. A lot of people think that they've overachieved a little bit. You've got a Dodgers team that's been exceptional, $250 million payroll or whatever the hell it is. Everybody seems to be hitting. They've got the best starting rotation in baseball. And people are going to look at this game and go, well, how can the Dodgers only be minus 125? Well, there's a lot more to it than that. And this is one of those games where that's kind of a pretty good indicator of what makes the betting market so much different from just sitting there and being an armchair quarterback and saying, well, the Dodgers are going to win every game. Maybe they do. But with Zach Godley on the mound against one of the lesser Dodgers starters, who's a league average type guy in Maeda, is plus 115 a good play? Is plus 118 a good play? Those are the questions that you find as a professional bettor. So, you know, I don't know what my play would be there in that game. I did write that one up a little bit in my picks analysis piece over at bangthebook.com. But again, I just want to illustrate for you, especially if you're not a big baseball bettor, if you're somebody that really dives into football and that's primarily the only thing you worry about in the betting market, you know, there are some similarities across all of these betting markets, yet all of them are unique in some way, shape, or form. And for baseball with money lines, you know, it definitely is one of those situations. So just to wrap up a little bit here, I know I had some time to fill at the tail end of that segment with Brian. I didn't want to keep him the full hour because he's got some things going on here today. But feedback about the show, let us know, you know, if the sound is good enough for you, if the sound is good of our guests. Do you like the live format? Do you like being able to listen live? Do you prefer to just listen after the fact? Let us know about that. Also, if you think the live chats are a good idea during Saturday and Sunday for football weekends, let us know that. And if you are interested in writing over at bangthebook.com, I can't guarantee anything. Obviously, I want to see your work before I you know, commit to anything like that. But hit me up on Twitter at Skating Tripods. Tweet at me. I'll open up my DM for you. You can let me know what you're interested in writing about, and I'll take a look at some of the stuff that you have to say. So remember, coming up on tomorrow's show, on our Wednesday show, we'll be joined by Sports Cheetah of WagerTalk.com. Lots of college football stuff coming with him. A little bit of NFL there as well. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, and I will talk to you again tomorrow.